Good morning. So it's Proverbs chapter 4, and it's the whole chapter. So starting at verse 1. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by his mother. Then he took me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of the evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Well, let's keep that passage open in front of us, and let's pray. Echoing the words of David in Psalm 19, we say, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I wonder how many of us have made a New Year's resolution this year. One article that I was reading this week was saying that only 22% of Brits are going to make a resolution in 2020. The top 10, as always, include things like losing weight, getting organized, spending less, enjoying life, getting healthy, learning something new, quitting smoking, things like that. But out of those 22%, it's estimated that by June, only 46% will have dropped out. And by the 31st of December next year, 92%. Will have dropped out. Only 8% that start will finish. And that means that in the UK population, by 2021, only 1.76% will manage to effect real change this year through a New Year's resolution. And now, I don't mean to be gloomy if you set yourself on that path, but I just want you to know that real change is hard. Real change it is hard, and that's especially true when it comes to the Christian life. See, perhaps your resolution has been a little bit more spiritual this year. I'd like to pray more, read the Bible more, commit to home groups more. And of course, they're great things to commit to. Don't let me put you off from doing that, but we need to be realistic about how real change is going to happen. And that's why we're going to spend some time looking at the book of Proverbs. It's our memory verse for the year, and a little bit later on in the year, we're going to study it together, maybe some time after Easter. Proverbs, you may know, was written by King Solomon and a few others, and was written to his sons. We saw that three times as we read through chapter 4 in verses 1, verses 10, and verses 20. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. But Bible commentators say that it wasn't just written for Rehoboam and the rest of Solomon's sons. It was used in Israel as a guide for the next generation of leaders. It was written in the style of a fatherly chat, but was written so that young boys would grow into godly leaders, wise in the ways of the world. But it has an even broader relevance than that. See, what Proverbs does is it engages in an international conversation on what it means to live the good life. What will give us the good life? Is it status? Is it wealth, control, reputation, achievement? They can all be gained, but are gone in an instant. Is that all that there is to life? How can we find the good life that truly lasts? Every culture will try and answer and will provide some sort of an answer to that. And so too does Proverbs. It's not just limited to a handbook for boys. But within Proverbs, one of the key verses comes in chapter 4, verses 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It comes to us as part of Solomon's seventh speech, his seventh lecture or lesson, if you will, which runs from verses 20 down to 27. That breaks up again into three parts, verses 20 to 22. He tells us to watch what goes into your heart. Verses 23, he tells us to watch what goes on in your heart. And verses 24 to 27, watch what comes out of your heart. But we're going to spend most of our time today in verse 23. And the first thing it shows us is that real change starts with the heart. Real change starts with the heart. See, verse 23 connects our heart with our life. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Our hearts and our lives are connected. It's worth taking a moment to see how other translations have put it. So the English Standard Version has it as, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Another translator more literally says, above every watch, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, or for it is the wellspring of life. They're all good translations, and they all add something to our understanding of this one verse, but our memory verse captures really well the sense of priority that Solomon's trying to stir up. Above all else, above every watch, with all vigilance, guard your heart. And it gives us as well a picture of a well or a stream or a spring, a little bit like the River Kent. I've never actually been there, but I've been told that at the start of the River Kent, you have the Kentmere Reservoir. I think that's a picture of it up there. A body of water out of which flows the River Kent. I know it's not the perfect picture. I know other things flow into it as well. But you get the idea. There is a big puddle at the start of it, out of which flows a river, just like everything we do comes gushing out of our heart. It's a statement that Jesus would agree with in Luke 6:45. He says, "For from the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And again, you might remember in Mark 7, he explains that it's from within, out of a person's heart, that comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Everything we do comes from one place, one reservoir. It comes from the heart. Now, we need to be clear here. We need to clarify what it means when it says heart. Because we use our heart often to mean our emotions, to speak of our feelings. We speak of our heart as the source of our feelings. There's a cartoon called Heart and Brain, where the organs of the body sort of come to life. We've got a little sample of it there. And the heart is a fun-loving, carefree character off on his own there, where the brain is a rational, sensible, screwed-down type. And the two often pull in the opposite directions. But when we see heart in the Old Testament, we're to be thinking more along the lines of pirate ships. If you can, imagine a salty old pirate ship with sails and cannons and a plank which people walk. And you'll know that on these ships, they have a great big deck. And in the middle of the deck, there is a steering wheel with wooden handles sticking off the sides. And behind that, you have the helmsman spinning it around, and you have the captain as well saying where to go. See, the wheel is just a small part of the ship, really, but it controls the whole direction of where the boat is going, like the steering wheel on a car or the bridge of the Starship Enterprise, if that's more your thing. The heart is the bit which controls what goes on. It's more than just the brain, the center of reason. It's the thing that governs all our actions and makes a person what they are. It's a mixture of what we'd call the character, the mind, the personality, the will. It's the thing that makes you, you. So firstly, notice this verse isn't saying, don't be an emotional person. It isn't saying, be guarded in what you feel. Above all else, guard your emotions. Just as it isn't saying, beware of heart disease. Do some exercise every now and then. It's saying, guard what you are on the inside. Guard who you are and what you become. Watch over the inner you. And we're to do so as a matter of utmost priority. How are we to guard it? Well, above all else. Above every watch, we are to guard our hearts. And that naturally makes us ask, doesn't it? Well, how do we guard other things? How do we guard our home? Well, we lock it up at night. We lock it up when we go out. We take constant care of what happens to it, what happens to the things in it. Or we might ask, well, how do we watch over our children? I hope we watch over them carefully. From the day-to-day life of feeding, clothing, washing them, to the longer term, setting them on the right path, making sure they grow up well in the right direction. How do we watch over our finances, our health, our diet, our job? We pay diligent attention to each of these things, but we're to watch over our heart even more than that. That's what makes this an important verse for the year. This is our A1 top priority. First thing on the to-do list for every day in 2020 is watch your heart. Before we brush our teeth, before we brush our hair, before we take care of the outside, we're to take care of the inside. Watch over your heart. And how we do that comes a little bit earlier in the passage, in verses 20 and 21. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my word. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. How we guard our heart is to be watching what goes into it, making sure that we're taking wisdom in and making sure that it stays there. Did you see in verse 21? These sayings, these words, this wisdom, it almost grows legs and runs away like a small child. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Just because it's there one moment doesn't mean it's going to be there in the next moment. I don't know about you, but I often forget things. Things slip out of my mind. Things like dates and names and what I went into the kitchen for. A mind like a sieve. That's why we're told to guard it so carefully. Don't let them accidentally get away from you. Imagine with me that you were given the crown jewels and were told to guard it. You'd make sure that it went into the safe and you'd make sure that it stayed there as well. That's why later on this year we're going to spend a great deal of time in Proverbs, a good number of Sundays sitting at Solomon's feet, paying attention to what he says and turning our ears to his words. It would be helpful if you'd read through it in advance of that series. Why not take a chapter a day for every day this month? That will be massively helpful for life and when we come to grapple with Proverbs later on. But as we do that, we might hit a snag. Because as you watch, if you watch your heart carefully, you'll no doubt spot a problem. See, did you hear how Jesus described our hearts earlier on? It's out of a person's heart that comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and the rest. Earlier on, he quotes from Isaiah saying, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts, who they are far from me." And it's not just Jesus that speaks that way. In Genesis 6:5, it's God the Father describing the heart. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Remember, that's not just talking about our emotions. It's talking about who we are, our whole self, our whole direction. The consistent message of the Bible is that no matter how much we watch over them, out of our hearts flows not the pure waters of the River Kent, but filth and pollution and poison. You might have heard the famous quote, "The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart." What this verse does is it traces the human problem all the way back along the banks and up the stream to the very source of the problem, the human heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. See, it's often taught that the start of the world of World War I, it started with the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. And that may be partly true, but it's still a little bit of the way down the stream. World War II started with the rise of Adolf Hitler to power. And again, that's not quite right. If we trace it back further to its source, well, we'd find not an event, but the black and beating heart of humanity, sinfully curved in on itself, proclaiming itself as king. That's the pool that pumps out the toxic waste of aggression and war and violence. But that's not just the story of human history. That's the story and the source of our history as well. Every broken relationship, every evil word, every unclean thought comes from the heart. We might try and shift the blame and say, well no, it's my upbringing that's responsible for my actions. Perhaps we did have a tough time of it growing up. We might want to blame our situation for our actions. If my brother wasn't so annoying, I'd be a really patient person. We might want to blame our culture for our actions. It's just all over the TV. There's no escape. We might even blame a low sense of self-esteem for our actions. And don't get me wrong, all of these things will come at us and will shake us up from left, right, and center. But they're not the ultimate source of the problem. They're just shining a light onto it. They shine a light onto our hearts and show us what's really there. What's really happening on the inside. These are Jesus' words. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And that might just give us pause when we're pointing the finger. Nothing shows this up quite like family, does it? Perhaps you've even seen that this Christmas. I'm often my worst when I'm around family, short-tempered, grumpy, self-centered, inconsiderate. Don't get me wrong, it's still there when I'm talking to you, but I'm just better at covering it up. And that pushes us on, doesn't it? It pushes us on to the need for a solution. If we want real change, we have to start with the heart. So notice, secondly, that real change flows from a changed heart. Real change does flow from a changed heart. See, God says in Ezekiel 36, "Look, I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be cleansed. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." See, real change is only made possible through a heart transplant, a heart transplant that God offers and Jesus provides. See, we might be familiar with Jesus as prophet speaking God's word to us. We might be familiar with Jesus as priest mediating between us and God. We might know Jesus as king, risen and reigning, prophet, priest, and king. But we sometimes forget Jesus, the wise man, the wisdom of God, who speaks wisdom into our hearts, who comes to dwell in our hearts through faith, Ephesians 3. Notice the wisdom language that Paul uses in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you'd know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of this glorious inheritance." See, it's only after chapter 1, 2, and 3 of Ephesians, it's only after the heart has been changed by the first three chapters, after the life-giving surgery, that he can then speak of what follows. Speak of our life, the stream that flows out of the heart in chapter 4. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Just as, back in Proverbs 4, well, a changed life flows from the heart. It flows from a heart that's now filled with wisdom. Verses 24 to 27 go on to say, "Watch what flows out from your heart." 24, "Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." Real change flows from a changed heart. It's really quite simple. I brought with me my teapot here. And the thing is, if I fill this teapot with water, what's going to flow from it is water, isn't it? Simple enough. If I fill it with Coca-Cola, well, what's going to flow from it is Coca-Cola. And if we fill our hearts then with Christ, the power and the wisdom of God, well, out of our hearts will flow not the toxic sludge of sin, but a life filled with wisdom and godliness. See, real change doesn't happen downstream. It happens at source. Real change won't come through resolutions. If we try and change things downstream by a quick fix New Year's resolution, try and polish up our Christian life, we'll still be here in 10 years' time, trying with the same old things. There's the same old promises. We'll still have a problem. Our heart will still be pumping out sin. We need to deal with the problem at source. One Christian counselor, Paul Tripp, tells the story of a mouldy old apple tree that he found in his garden. This tree had been there forever, I think. And year after year, the apples were dry and wrinkled and brown and pulpy, not very nice in themselves. And so his wife told him, it makes no sense to have a rotten apple tree, rotten apples, cut it down and burn it. But instead, Paul had the idea and decides to buy a heavy-duty staple gun, a ladder, and a box of apples. He goes and climbs the ladder and staples some shiny red apples to every branch of the tree. And from a distance, the tree looks great, it looks fruity, it looks full. But what's his wife going to say? She'll say all kinds of things, but among them will probably be, there's still a problem. The problem hasn't been dealt with. And that's the same for our Christian life as well. We can't just staple good works to ourselves by keeping some of the rules, coming along to church, acting in a Christian way, trying to keep resolution. That's why a better priority for the new year is to work on our hearts. Above all else, guard your hearts. If you're anything like me, then there'll be no shortage of opportunities for doing that. God will give you plenty of chances to work on your heart. See, take for example, if you're late for a meeting, that can be a stressful situation, can't it? If you're sat in traffic, your blood slowly boiling, becoming shorter-tempered with other drivers, and it's easy, isn't it, to blame all kinds of things there. The roadworks are running through Kendall again. That family member made us late. Whoever planned this meeting so far away, well, they're an idiot. It's easy to blame other things. Or even just to resolve, oh, well, I'll set out earlier next time. But the chances are, if we do that, we'll just remain the same old you. But that traffic jam might just give us an opportunity to examine our heart. What's that stress showing us about ourselves? Why is it there? Is the stress showing us a fear of what people might think if we're late? Is the stress showing us a lack of care for that person that we just didn't set off in good time? Is the stress showing us that we think that we're too important to be held up by traffic? We deserve a life that runs smoothly. Literally thousands of things could be going on in our heart at that point that a New Year's resolution simply wouldn't touch. But instead, it could provide us with an opportunity to grow as we take God's word, God's wisdom, and plant it down deep within us, as we let it challenge our hearts. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, so no matter how people think of me, I'm fine. Lord, give me a heart that esteems others more highly than myself. Lord, the world does not revolve around me. Give me the good grace to see that. And that's just from being stuck in traffic. It could be any situation that God puts you in this year that provides that little bit of insight into our hearts. If we're faced with financial setbacks this year, will that show us a heart that's overly invested in the world? It could be an illness. Could that be an opportunity to grow in our hope for the new creation? If we look at the wrong things on the screen this year, what's our heart really longing for there? What's it really looking for? Should we redirect that longing somewhere proper? If you have family, it could be a struggle with a child, or with parents, or with your spouse's parents. It could be a thousand things that poke or prod at our hearts this year. We need to become good at examining our hearts, skilled heart surgeons, if you will. Winston Churchill once famously said, never let a good crisis go to waste. Let's take these things and use them as an opportunity for Christian growth. Now, some people tend to be a little bit more introspective and will be good at doing this naturally. That's great. Carry on with that. But some of us might need to work a little bit harder at taking the time to stop and ask, well, why really did I do that? What's going on there? Was that right? Other people can be helpful in helping us to think that through. But 2020 could be a year of great growth. It's in lots of life situations. God is watching. God is asking. Look, what's going on in your heart at this point? Is that right? Are you going to trust me here? Will you trust me more than this? Will you guard your heart with all vigilance? But this hard work is not without a promise. And it's here where I think the English Standard Version is just slightly better. It says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. The ESV preserves the echo from verses 22, where it says, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. It's certainly saying everything you do flows from the heart, but there's more. There's a promise of life there too, particularly of a life filled life. The promise of the book of Proverbs is that if we follow the path of wisdom, we will enjoy life in all of its dimensions. Eternal life to come, yes, but a life-filled life now. So just think of the godliest person that you've ever known. How would you describe their life? Often, in spite of setbacks, it's a life that's vibrant and full of joy. Their relationships, everything they do is full of life. A friend was telling me of a godly older lady. I think she's about 80 at the moment. And she came to stay with him in London when she was about 77. And at 7:30 in the morning, she got up and put on a tape, a cassette, if you remember what they are, and a recorded dramatization of the life of Elijah. And she pranced around the room, acting out the story of Elijah to the delight of all the children. There wasn't a Sunday in her house that wasn't full of people round for a Sunday dinner. Not a conversation that wasn't touched with care and concern. When my friend's wife, a student in Liverpool, was given some money for her 21st birthday to take her friends out for a meal, guess who she took? Well, she took this godly old pensioner out for tea. When he speaks of her life, it can only be described as a life-filled life. Every single relationship she has was buzzing with life and blessing. John 7:38, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The promise is If we watch over our hearts, if we keep it carefully and guard over it, if we treasure wisdom within, especially the wisdom of Christ, our life will be full of life, full of blessing, full of joy, a reservoir that will be gushing and overflowing into the lives of those around us. And isn't that a hope for 2020? Let's pray together. Our Father God, we confess that oftentimes our hearts are far from you. As we look at our hearts, we see flowing from it not life and blessing and joy, but sin and despair and chaos. Father, we thank you that Jesus came to change our hearts. Thank you that he can dwell within. Thank you that your Spirit can give us a new heart that longs for the right things, that longs to serve you, that longs to bring blessing to others, that longs to put you first in our life. Father, we ask that we would have just such hearts. We ask that your wisdom, that Christ's wisdom, would pour into our hearts, and from that would flow the streams of life. That we would be a blessing to those around us as a church, that we would be a blessing to Kendal as a church. We ask that you would help us this year, all through the year, to keep our hearts with all vigilance. Above all other watching, please let this be the first thing we do in the morning and the last thing we do at night. And we ask that you would grow us to be more like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.